Particularly, they were known for something called the Phrygian powder. And I was looking this up last night to see what it was. And it was basically an eye salve that they put on their eyes to heal various diseases. And it's very similar to what we have in here, you know, just a huge medical area. Famous, everybody went there to be healed. Excuse me. Well, the fourth thing they were known for was bad water. I mean, okay, they have a large banking area, great textiles, and a medical facility, but they had bad water. I mean, in fact, there was an aqueduct that was built, came from Hierapolis, which is about 6 miles north of that, and Hierapolis was known for these hot springs. And you would go there, people from all over the region would go there and get in these hot springs, and there was a medicinal purpose there. But they created this aqueduct that went from Hierapolis, about 6 miles north, and just to supplement Laodicea's water supply. But by the time the water got to Laodicea, this hot, refreshing water was lukewarm. It was not, it was tepid. It was hard, hot, lukewarm water. It wasn't something that you wanted to drink. In fact, we're going to read later on, this water was so bad. There's this word here that's used. It says, I will spit you out of my mouth. The word is actually vomit. I mean, that's how bad this water was. So those are the four things we know about Laodicea. Let's go back to that previous slide. So first thing I want to do is the second thing, I want to look at Christ. Verse 14, it says, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. You know, all the other letters, Christ, as this one, Christ is the author, and it was a direct revelation given to God, to John, written down for us. Here in the beginning, Christ introduces himself with three things, three words. The word Amen, faithful and true witness, and the ruler of God's creation. First, Christ calls himself the Amen. You know, we're all familiar with this word. We enthusiastically say Amen at the end of grace, or when we're about to eat, or when somebody says a long prayer, we really enthusiastically say it. We're in agreement with that. But it means truly. Jesus used it several times. He begins a statement, truly, truly, I say to you. Indicating that Jesus was about to say something important. And here, he's about to say something important to the church. We have a lukewarm church, a self-sufficient church, a church that does it on its own, that doesn't need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is about to talk to this body of believers, and he's about to tell them something that they need. You know, at the end, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And he says this to each one of these churches. It is what this message here, just like the one from Sardis, No commendations. They didn't do anything right, it doesn't seem like. And Christ is telling us, hey, we need to hear. We need to pay attention. The world has all these nice, shiny stuff that draws our attention away from what's important. Amen. And we need to hear what Christ is saying to us. He goes on to say, Christ is claiming to be the faithful and true witness. He's telling you that the truth, and he's going to tell you the truth. Well, the third phase is not, as the NIV says, that the ruler of God's creation. The word implies origin or source, and that's kind of why I went to the Cartesian coordinate system, because there's an origin, there's a source, and Christ is saying, I am the source of your need. I am the source of everything that you need. Not what you have, not what the world provides. I am the source. Not the water supply that comes. I am the living water. You know, we read in John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then two verses later, John says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." And that's, I think, what he's telling this body of believers. Hey, I'm the Amen. You need to pay attention because I have something that you need to hear. I think he's telling us the same. Through this whole series in Revelation, I think God's been speaking to our church. And the question is, are you listening? Are you paying attention? He who has an ear, let him hear. And maybe it was, you know, in Ephesus, you know, losing your first love. Maybe it was another church. I think they were written to a specific church back then, but I think they're very applicable to us today. And he's asking us today, are you lukewarm? Are you still fervently fighting the fight? He says, I'm the Amen. I have something for you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I am going to tell you the truth. Faithful and true witness. And not only was I there in the beginning, but all things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. And Christ is speaking very plainly to us. So in other words, listen up. Pay attention. Are you tuned in? Well, first, let's look at the problem. Verse 17, 15 through 17. It says, I know your works. I know your deeds. You can't hide them from me. I know what you're doing. I know that people in the church body, I'm doing it at home, in the dark, in the quiet. Nobody can see. But you're not hiding it from me. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say I'm rich and I have prospered and I am in need of nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. I know your deeds. You can't hide them from me. There's two problems that I see here. First, there was a problem of commitment. The church was lukewarm. You might be tempted to think that hot implies, you know, spiritual and cold implies unspiritual. But I don't think that's what he's saying. If you think about it, this whole water, hot and cold issue. In the wintertime, I love hot coffee. It's great. Summertime, last Thursday, I really enjoyed a cold drink of water. Both of them are refreshing. Both of them have their place. And the whole image of hot and cold and lukewarm here, it's a picture of their water supply. You see it in the image here, hot and cold are useful. But lukewarm makes him nauseous. And that's what he's saying. And again, that word for spit is to vomit. And so I was reading this one guy says, and I never drank the water in Laodicea, so I don't know this. But one guy was talking about when people that were unaccustomed to water like this, they would take a drink and that would be their first response. It was to gag, is how bad the water was. And that's how Christ feels about lukewarm believers. There was a commitment issue. And you know, Christ wants us to be all in. You know, a couple of questions you can ask yourself where you're at. You know, are you following Christ? You know, are you lukewarm? Have you allowed the world to infiltrate your life? You know, are you seeking God? First question. Are you reading the scripture? Do you have a heart for the lost? Are you pursuing God? You know, if you can't say yes to at least one of these, maybe there is, Maybe you are lukewarm. Maybe you are. And again, I say, you know, I look in my own life, and the world is so tempting to me. I mean, it has such nice, pretty stuff. It shines, it glows in the dark, it calls my name. The sin that calls my name, it just does, and it lulls me to sleep. And we're all like that. If we all would be honest with ourselves, we're all like that. We all have a sin that or two that call our name, that draws us away, you know. And that's what happened here. I mean, the Laodiceans, they were self-sufficient. They had everything they needed. They didn't need help. And yet they didn't realize just how far they had fallen. And they didn't realize just what they needed. They didn't realize that they were wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That's sad. I mean, that's a hard place to be when you don't even realize just where you sit before God. Well, the second problem with the church is they were relying on themselves by the world's standards, you know, rather than God's standards. We see in verse 17, it says, "You say I'm rich and I've acquired wealth and you do not need anything, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." You know, in the world's eyes, they were doing fine. They had everything they needed. The church looked good. Church growth was going on. They were self-sufficient. They were comfortable, accepted. The world liked them. But that's not the church that Christ wants. The church is supposed to be salt and light. It's supposed to make a difference in the world. And the church is to be shining in the world. Instead of being spiritually rich, they were spiritually bankrupt, and they didn't even realize it. They didn't even realize it. Remember the three things that the city was famous for? Their wealth, their eye ointment, and their fine clothes. And the three things that Christ says in verse 17. You're poor. You got gold. You're by the world standard, you got gold, but by God's standards, you're poor. You're blind. You got a great medical facility, but by my standards, you're spiritually blind. You're naked. Like awesome black silky wool. Everybody has a. If you have a suit, you have a wool suit. They feel really great. I mean, they're awesome if you like suits and ties. But he's saying you're naked. Kind of like the king's new suit. Don't even realize it. Well, then we look at the solution, verse 17 through 19. He says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. White garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent." In these two verses, 18 and 19, we see four things that we're told to do. One, buy gold. Buy gold from me refined by fire. Two, by garments, by white garments. You know, usually white garments refers to Christ's righteousness. Buy from me garments to clothe your nakedness. Third is to buy eye salve, to anoint your eyes, so you can spiritually see, so you won't be spiritually blind. And then the fourth thing is to repent, to turn away. You know, the irony is thick here. You know, the exhortation for them to buy these things. You know, these were the riches of the world. And that's what they needed to buy. You know, first he counsels them to buy from him. And the emphasis is that it comes from God. And they must, you know, it's like you can't any longer trust in your own riches. But you got to come to Christ for his riches, for his eternal riches. They considered themselves to be self-sufficient, but they lacked the sufficiency of Christ. You know, I find myself in that situation. Got a nice house, cars, everything's taken care of. I find myself in this situation. I think 99% of Americans find themselves in this situation. We're pretty self-sufficient. When you compare, it used to be this: if you had money in the bank and you had change in your pocket and you were in the top 99% of the wealthiest people in the world. And I don't have, I got a couple of dollars in my pocket and I do have money in the bank. And I think we're probably all have that. Every person in here, when you compare yourselves with the world, we are all wealthy. We're all self-sufficient. And Christ is telling the church here, hey, buy from me gold that is refined by fire. And I don't think he's talking about the actual commodity gold. I don't think he's talking about that. I think he's talking about the true riches of eternal life. What actually wealth is. Well, second, they needed white garments to cover their nakedness, clothed in his righteousness, not our own. All too often, that's what we do. We come to Christ but in faith, but then we try to do it on our own. And he's saying, hey, it's a continual thing, a continual idea of putting on Christ's righteousness every day. And like I said, the emperor's new suit, these Christians thought they were clothed in splendor, and they were really naked. That's what he's saying to them. And to be naked meant to be defeated. When we look in the Old Testament, the idea of being naked meant to be defeated. Well, third, the Laodiceans were blind. Couldn't see their spiritual condition. And they needed the Holy Spirit to anoint their eyes with spiritual sight so they could see, understand, and accept the truth. They were blind to the things of God. I'm sure they had scripture in their hands, but they were blind to the things of the Lord. And then fourth, in verse 19, he tells us Jesus is so concerned with them as he is with us. Their spiritual condition, he tells them to repent. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Still loves these lukewarm believers. You're not out. Even though their love for him had grown cold, he didn't forsake them. He didn't forsake them. He wanted to reprove and discipline them. And in verse 19, we're commanded to be zealous and repent here. To repent literally means to turn. It's an activity of reviewing one's activities and feeling remorse, regret for past wrongs. It generally involves a commitment to personal change and a resolve to live a more accountable life. It involves an act of confession, an admission of guilt, a desire not to repeat the offense. It's not being sorry that you got caught. That's usually what we do when we repent. It's like, okay, I'm sorry I got caught. That's not what he's saying. And I think it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And I personally believe that repentance is a gift from God. Amen. I think God gives us a gift of repentance so we can turn away from ourselves and turn to him. buy gold refined by fire, white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. Buy salve to anoint your eyes and repent. The four things he's telling us to do. And then the fifth thing, the promise, Revelation 20 through 22. Excuse me, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat, and he with me. And the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. You know, the picture here is Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And I don't know if that kind of, a little more irony, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but he's standing at the door of his church, knocking, asking to be let in. He is the Lord of the church. He is the head of the church. And he is asking to come in. You know, I've often heard preachers use this passage, you know, in an invitation time. And they say Jesus is standing at the door of your heart knocking. And if you'll let him come in, then you can be a believer. He's not talking. The problem with this, the passage has nothing to do with salvation. I mean, he's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to believers here. And he's asking believers to open the door to the church so he can be a part of the body again. And if you're a believer, you know, Christ has a special promise for us here this morning. He says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne, so I shall share Christ's future reign in his kingdom. And that's an awesome thought. We get to be a part of his kingdom. You know, there's a problem. Problem, the church was lukewarm. They were self-sufficient. They didn't see their need for Christ. They didn't understand their need for Christ. And they were wretched, poor, miserable, and blind. And they didn't even realize it. Didn't even realize it. But there is a solution. There is a solution. And it's, as Christ said, buy from me true riches. True riches. Buy from me true garments that cover our nakedness. Buy from me eye salve so that you can see. So that you can see. And he tells us to repent, to turn away. Don't be sorry that you get caught, to truly turn away from what the world offers. And again, I always say that the world offers shiny stuff, has no eternal value. Buy from me gold refined by fire. Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. And I pray for each person here today, for myself, God, that I wouldn't be self-sufficient, Lord, but that I would lean on you and fellow believers. God, that I would be able to see my problem, to repent, and to turn to you. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. God, thank you so much for your grace. We do pray in Jesus' name.